which Miriam, who is, can't be here this morning because they're attending someone's engagement party, but she said I could share this. She emailed it to me in the week. We heard at a party a couple of weeks ago about this, and I just felt it'd be good to keep feeding back what God is doing. She said this: after, not long after Hamish and I had arrived in Edinburgh to settle, I developed a very painful, itchy, and irritating rash on my left ear. I've never experienced this kind of thing before, and the doctors didn't seem to know what exactly it was either. My ear blew up to triple the size, and I was in constant throbbing pain for days. After a while, after trying lots of medication and resting it out, it began to go down and heal. I was extremely relieved, but horrified when a week later it started appearing again as the first symptoms had. I was worried that it would get as bad as it had the first time, and why had it returned again? Hamish and I had just started coming along to CCE and had been really appreciating the opportunity for going up to the front for prayer, even if it was out of our comfort zone. It was well worth getting over our insecurities. One particular Sunday, after the rash had returned to my left ear in its first stages of hot, itchy bumps, there was a word from God at the front about the chance to pray for someone with a problem in their left ear. I knew this had to be me, so I went up to the front, and someone prayed over my ear. I believe God could easily take the disease away if he wanted to, and as this lady prayed for me, I felt God's presence and power and warmth all around my head. And then after, I had no itchy bumps, and my ear was as smooth as a baby's bottom. Miracles do happen, and in the strangest ways, to encourage us to trust in God's mighty power and strength. Miriam McWilliam. That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. God is doing things. You know, there's something in the air, and I hope we can catch that at the moment, because it's good for us to catch that sense of anticipation about what God is doing. Things are happening in the city. I was talking to Malcolm Rand a couple of evenings ago at Broxburn, and he was just saying how at St Mungo's it's been like a stirring there, and they've been seeing just God moving and healing, and there's been a hunger in people for God. He's just really excited about what God is doing. I was hearing from Andrea Wigglesworth that she was saying at Kenny Borthwick's church out at Wester Hales, they've just been knowing an increased presence of God in their meetings. They've just seen an increase, just like a water table is rising. And I know, you know, there's many places around about that this is happening. There's just God is doing something in these days. You've probably been aware of what's happening. Some of you may have heard of what's happening over in Florida. There's just been a significant move of God happening. Let me read this little report. This is from the NBC. So this is not a Christian report. This is from the website of NBC in the States, from Lakeland, Florida. It says, Holy Spirit, fall. God is here. We want more, 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 more. That's what Canadian evangelist Todd Bentley yells out nearly every evening to the thousands who gather to hear him preach. The 32-year-old Bentley looks more like a biker than a minister, with body piercings and tattoos all over his arms and neck. But the crowds don't seem to mind how he looks. They just want what they believe Bentley has, the ability to heal them. Bentley claims that God has used him supernaturally to heal hundreds of people of diseases ranging from glaucoma to diabetes and even cancer. How to explain it? Bentley said in an interview that he doesn't know exactly why now, why him, why Lakeland, and he doesn't promise that everyone who comes to him will be healed, but he does maintain a pragmatic posture towards prayer. I say, you have nothing to lose but your sickness. If the doctors can't help you, why wouldn't you give God a chance? A bit later on it just says, he claims that God has used him repeatedly before this revival to heal the sick, but added that this series of revival meetings is unprecedented in his personal experience as a minister. The meetings have outgrown four venues, including a local convention center that seats roughly 7,000. Now they meet under an air-conditioned tent that can accommodate 10,000 in the grounds of the local airport. And organizers estimate that more than 140,000 people from at least 40 nations have attended meetings there. So, and it's growing. This was actually on the 20th of May, that report. So God is doing exciting things. I'm going to come back to that a bit later on. Rick Joyner. This is this thing has been breaking out in different parts of the states, which is interesting. Rick Joyner, who's based in South Carolina, he says, I've been receiving communications from around the United States and Europe that all are reporting the same thing. They are seeing healings and miracles on a level like they've never seen before. This is a time of a great visitation of God to his people. Even so, I remain convinced that what we are now experiencing is a birth pang, a spiritual contraction that is preparing us for the birth of an even greater move of God. And so it's almost like he's saying it's like an anticipation that, you know, this is the start of something, or this is a continuation of something that is growing. There's a sense of something growing, an anticipation of something growing. And it's exciting. And I want us to catch a bit of that. There's been meetings out at Broxburn the last few days, and the style has been a bit different. God has been doing things with healing there as well. I was there for a couple of evenings and saw there that someone who hadn't heard for 7 years in their left ear, their ear popped open and they were hearing. Also a lovely thing, a little boy, the Lord touched, it was a real problem with his kidneys, not going into the details of it, but anyway, he just felt the Lord touch him there and found by going out to the loo and coming back again, and he just said the Lord had done. Is that better? Okay. I don't know if that's better. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Ashley, you were there, weren't you? Do you want to...
Loose connection.
Ooh. Okay. Do you want to just say what you said the other day?
Yeah, to be honest, the bit I've enjoyed most of the worship has just been fantastic. But last night there was a testimony from the night before, and it was a girl at the other end of a mobile phone, yeah, who had had a form of tunnel vision, so her peripheral vision just was non-existent and had always been that way. So she was prayed for down the phone, and then last night her mum and some of their friend came, and they were just testifying that, you know, her peripheral vision had substantially increased, and they were going to go to the optician this week to get that verified. So it's just great to hear those testimonies.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Maggie's just saying that it's happening in our country. You know, we often hear of wonderful things happening in India or Africa or wherever, and they are. But what we want to see is these things happening in the Western world, in our nations, where they have in the past, and we do hear a little bit of that, but God is doing something of a new measure in these days. But believe me, it's not about the miracles. That's not the focus, actually. That's just like the icing on the cake. That's just evidence of God's presence, but the thing is, it's about Jesus and about something of his glory being revealed in our land for what he wants to do in bringing the kingdom in. So, it's just going to return a bit more to that in a little while. I just want to read a little bit from the scriptures here. You know, Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him, how should they pray? You know, he taught them, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, we want what is happening in heaven now, you know, the state of things in heaven, how things are happening in heaven. Lord, we want that, your will, to be done now here on earth where you've placed us. We want to see heaven touch earth, heaven come to earth. And so, you know, it's not surprising that healing is an aspect of what God is doing in this day because, well, there's no sickness in heaven. Who believes that? There's no sickness in heaven. Can you accept that? There's no sickness in heaven. You know, sometimes we get funny ideas about sickness that actually, you know, maybe God wants us to be sick to teach us something. Well, I don't personally believe that at all. I believe sickness is not God's intention for us. He that is something that came in with the fall, and it's something about being a damaged mankind because of sin coming in. God's heart is for us to be well and to be whole. Now, okay, that doesn't mean to say we all get healed. It doesn't mean to say we're seeing the whole picture just at the moment, but we will do, and that is something that God is wanting us to reach out for. There's something about actually being able to hold those things in tension and actually believe for what God is intending to do and thank him for what he is doing, not focus on what we don't think he's doing or what we can't see him doing, but focus on what he is doing. Where we see the kingdom declared, healing and signs and wonders do follow. That is a scriptural basis for what we believe. Let's just look at what Jesus was doing. I mean, he is our model, isn't he? He is the one that we are following. He is the one we're told that we're being made into the likeness of. So we need to look at what he did. In Matthew 8, I'm going to read verse 16. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Just to turn over to chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, wherever Jesus went, we know from this, if you read the Gospels, he's always talking about the kingdom, isn't he? That was his focus, the kingdom of God coming. Something of a change in the order of things in this earth, that the Lord be the one who's the king, the one who rules in our situation. And wherever he went, healings accompanied him. And so it's not surprising then, over in the next chapter of Matthew, we see in chapter 10, when he sends out the disciples, he sends out the 12, he sends them with that same authority, clear instructions there in verse 7. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near, or is at hand, some translations say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Jesus gives them then the instruction to do likewise, to do as he has been doing. And later we read that he sends out 70 or 72 to do the same. You can read of that in Luke 10, the same instructions. This was just a way that Jesus brought the kingdom. This is just part of the package of what he was doing. We see at the very end of the Gospels, at the end of Matthew 28, before Jesus ascends to heaven. Just turn it over. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of this age. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That was part of his command, wasn't it? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It was part of the package of what he had brought for us to do. It wasn't just for a few special ones. It was part of what he gave for his church, his followers, those who were filled with him, filled with his resurrection power to go and do on this earth. And so we see that picture then in the early church. After the Spirit is poured out at Pentecost in Acts 2, we see his followers doing the same thing. We see Peter and John praying for the cripple at the gate called Beautiful, and him being healed. Just look at their prayer then in after they get thrown into prison, That's something of the persecution that sometimes can come with this. But their prayer then in Acts 4, when they're released, they pray this. Acts 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And as they prayed, the place that, where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So we see this picture continuing of the church, a bold church, a church filled with the Spirit, seeing evidences of the kingdom of God wherever they go. It was just part of the package. Now, obviously, I'm emphasizing healing this morning. I'm not saying it's only about healing. There's a whole lot more. But that is a key part of evidence of the kingdom of God, because we see it there in the scriptures. Even Paul, I mean, we don't often think of Paul particularly in that same light, because we often think of Paul as being, you know, the teacher and the one who, you know, the great teaching of Romans and Ephesians and all these wonderful letters that we've been given in the scriptures. But if you look at the end of Acts where Paul is shipwrecked on Malta, just Acts 28, what do we see happens? Let me just turn to it. Verses 7 to 9. This is when you probably remember the story. They've been shipwrecked on the beach, and they get helped by the islanders. And it says there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us into his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. See, an impromptu healing meeting in Malta. Wonderful. And the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. And it says the islanders continued to help them and provide for them. I believe God wants to raise our level of faith and expectancy, that he is still the same today as he was in those times and 2,000 years ago. As he's been throughout history and the history of the church. He's still the same today. He's the same God with us in Scotland as he is in Africa or in China or places where we've maybe heard reports of amazing things happening. I've had the privilege to travel to various different conferences this year. It's been quite an unusual year. I was down at Harrogate, with Tom and Marjorie Morrow and some others at the New Wine Conference about a month ago, where Bill Johnson was sharing, and you've heard me refer to about him before. By the way, you might be interested, there were 4 talks he gave at that conference, and I've brought the CDs back, and you can get them from the office through the normal channels if you want to order those CDs. They're good talks. I think John has 2 sets already copied this morning that are available here, but you can order them through the office. Bill talks about how God longs for partnership with us in the work of the kingdom, that we're co-laborers with him. But it's something that comes out of relationship with him, with our Father. It's something that, you know, it's not something you just do by principle or method. We're not robots. Actually, it's something that comes out of relationship with him. That's why it's important to be spending time in worship, spending time where we come into a place of intimacy, where we know Jesus so close, where we hear him, where we hear his voice, whether it's a quiet voice or whether it's something very loud and clear. But whatever it is, we have that level of relationship with him. That's what he wants us to come into, in order that together it's a partnership. We're co-laborers in the vineyard, in the kingdom. And the challenge, he was saying, is that when Jesus rose from the dead, he then ascended to heaven. And it's as if he passed on the baton to us. Did you ever do relay races at school? Anybody do relay races? I did. I wasn't very good at any sport. So I'd be the one who probably dropped the baton. But we know that's a clear picture of, you know, someone handing a baton on to someone else to run with and do the next lap. And when Jesus ascended to heaven, it's as if he handed on the baton to us as the church and said, okay, now you've seen what I've did, you hear what I've taught, now you run with it. Now you run with it. And by the way, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So don't worry, I'm with you in it. It's my power at work within you. He filled us with his resurrection power and authority. Filled us with his Spirit that on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out. And he said, you know, heal the sick. It's impossible, isn't it? Heal the sick. Impossible. But then he also said, be perfect. That's impossible too. Without it, the Spirit working within us, without the Holy Spirit at work, none of these things are possible. It's actually him that we need to look to, him that we need to draw on. So you might want to get some of those CDs. There's useful teaching there. There's also podcasts that you can get on the web. Now, I started by mentioning about what's happening in Lakeland and what's going on over there. Now, I want you to know this is my personal take on this. This is where I feel things are at, and so that's what I'm sharing of this morning. Put your hand up if you've seen some of those things on the television or on the web. Some have? Okay. Basically, as that report said that I read from NBC, there's been just a particularly profound move of God there. Lots of healings day by day in the meetings. The sort of pattern is there's quite a lot of worship and then some words of knowledge. The spontaneous healings that are happening just in the worship, people around the building, just as God's glory is poured out and as Jesus is worshipped, there's just seems to be healings and happening in various places around the gatherings. And so they tend to have times of testimony as well, of feeding back what God is doing. There's also a real sense of the importance of impartation, of giving away what God is doing. The guy who's been at the sort of hub of what's happening there, the healing evangelist Todd Bentley, he's very keen on impartation and praying with people. And even if it's a huge crowd, even if it's 10,000, he says, I'm going to pray with everybody here tonight. And believe me, he does, which is amazing. But there's very much a sense of this is something to give away and to take back to the places that people have come from. And also, there's always opportunity for prayer for people with very profound sicknesses, so the terminally ill. One thing I think is just, if you've watched some of the TV accounts, you'll see something of the real compassion of God for people who are in such a desperate strait that, you know, they just need God to move or they've got no hope. There's no other stop. Perhaps the doctors have done all they can do. And believe me, they're not against at all. They're not against what the medical profession are doing. They very much honor and respect that. But they're trying to say, you know, that Jesus is also at work powerfully to heal today. In fact, they're saying it's all what the doctors do is also part of what the Lord is doing. But actually, there's something of the power of God that is being released today that the doctors and nurses can testify to and can affirm by their skill and their reports. Now, knowing that this was about, there's something about impartation that's happening there, I decided it would be good to go out and visit as well. And so one day, Tom and I were going out to a prayer breakfast, and it was Tuesday about 2.5 weeks ago, and I just said to him in the car there, how about we go out to Florida to touch this, which is happening there? Like, how about we go tomorrow? And being a very good husband, the first thing he said, well, I need to ask Marjorie. But bless him, he said, yes, let's do that. And so by the next morning, we were on a flight out to Florida, and we were out there for 5 days. And began just to experience firsthand some of the things that God is doing. I just wanted to show a few clips from the TV reports on a DVD. So I've got to stop here. If it will play all right, let's hope that technology will work with us this morning and just give you a little insight to some of the things that are happening there.
Thank you. Okay. I think we'll leave that there. Okay. This goes on and on every night. Powerful, yes. Well, just give you a little flavor, a little taste of that. A bit different, eh? A bit different. Who found that a bit different? to be quite honest, before I went out there, I used to struggle a bit with Todd Bentley because I just found him, you know, he's very loud. He's just, I mean, totally different to what I'm used to in terms of church. But I just knew that God was using him powerfully, and so I wanted to be open to how God was working. And I'd say that, you know, while I was out there, I just found that as the days went by, I sensed the anointing growing, the sense of anointing that I was feeling, I felt it growing. And I just would say that I see Todd Bentley as someone whose heart is really clear for the Lord. He really wants to give all the glory to Jesus, and he's just being used by him. Yeah, he looks a bit different with, you know, his tattoos all over him and... you know, but so what? God, it's not the first time God has used someone who looks different, or God has used someone who might offend us in some way to display his glory. That's the Lord's prerogative, and sometimes he does that. But over the course, I think that's been running now 60-something days, that revival, 63, 65 days, there is accounts of 23 raisings from the dead or more associated with that, of scores of people coming and getting out of wheelchairs, lots of different things are being healed. Some feel heat, as they were saying there. Some feel a sense of burning, some electricity, some coldness touch them. Different sort of feels. Some feel nothing, like that rabbi. But there are many ways that God can work within us. Not everybody is healed. Some, it's just start of a process. But then that happened in the scriptures, wasn't it? That Jesus prayed for the 10 lepers, and he said, you know, go to the high priests and show yourself to them. And as they went, we read, they were healed. And sometimes it's a process that as we go. One thing I think was really touching is just the sense of God's compassion on hurting people, on needy people, and something of the love of God touching people right where they're at. Todd Bentley, something I'd say that I learned from him is something of him, of a childlike simplicity, of his just willingness just to, he's just constantly thrilled with what Jesus is doing. And one of the things he says is he's always thankful for whatever it is, even if it's the smallest thing. So much so that he says his staff, you know, he'll come back and just say, look what Jesus was doing tonight. And his staff will say, yeah, okay, he was, you know, healing blindness, he was doing. But Todd Bentley is saying, yeah, isn't it wonderful? You know, and he's seen this thousands and thousands of times, but he's still just really thankful for every single time that the Lord touches someone. And I think an attitude of thankfulness is something that the Lord really blesses. The focus in these things is not, as I said earlier, primarily about the miracles. And it's certainly not about Todd Bentley or some other name. The guy out at, one of his associates has been out in Broxburn recently, and he was saying the other night, it's about a nameless, faceless generation that God is raising up. Basically, he's asking all of us to be those that are doing the stuff in this day, those of us who are seeing his kingdom come on earth. But the focus is the glory of Jesus. And it isn't that it's just started in Lakeland, or it's just started 10 years ago or more in Toronto, or just started, you know, back in the 1940s with the Great Awakening and the healing revivalists there, or just started back in the start of last century with the Pentecostal outpouring in Azusa Street. In fact, it's really an ongoing of what happened at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Maggie said in the car this morning, it's basically the Jerusalem outpouring, not the Lakeland outpouring. It's what happened in the upper room that day 2,000 years ago when the Spirit was poured out, and it's just continuing. It's just that in these days, it is the intensity seems to be building up again. And surely we shouldn't be surprised about that, because we know that the Lord has spoken about in the end times that there will be, you know, there will be a great move of God on the earth. but also, conversely, things will get worse in other respects. So we need to expect there to be things that happen. And you know, who knows whether this is where we stand in terms of God's timescale and things. Todd Bentley said maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 100 years before Jesus comes back. We don't know, but certainly this is an awakening of something that he and other people experience in this field are saying, this is the start of a new dimension of God moving in his church to equip his bride for the last day's move of the Spirit and the earth. And it's something that's going to build and build and build. And that certainly is where I believe things are at. Just a few comments then, of some observations about it, because it does look a bit different, and of course it has attracted its criticisms. But I would say, having been there, that something that really comes through is the sense of hunger for God. There's a real sense, the people who are there, that there's a real hunger for God. That's something that really is, that shines through. As well as a real desire for intimacy with Jesus. People are passionate, asking to come closer to Jesus, wanting a new level of intimacy. And those two things, intimacy, hunger for God, seem to be aspects that are very clear in what's happening. And the effects, I would say, is something of a passion and a boldness returning to the church. Restoring something of passion, of boldness. They say that, you know, one of the marks, really, of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost was not speaking in tongues, even though that was clearly a clear sign on that day. But the mark of the Spirit being poured out was boldness on the disciples. It turned people who were cowering away in an upper room into those who were filled with boldness and were willing to go out and turn, you know, the world that they lived in upside down. And the Lord is restoring something of boldness to his church. It's about the harvest for the kingdom. It's about seeing men and women around this globe come to know the one who truly has life, the one who has what they're crying out for. Rick Joyner has commented that an encouraged church is the most powerful evangelistic force in the world. And so the Lord is encouraging his church in this day, raising our faith to believe that he will do what he's promised to do in the scriptures. Okay, what about there's just some of the criticisms that have been coming? There have been some controversy around this, of course. Any move of God will stir some controversy. Is that going off? Let me use this.